This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, how you doing? What's going on, guys? Hey, talk about a little have fun tonight. Hey, it's making Mount Rushmore. I'm your host, Andy Epson. We're talking mob movies tonight, and I got the perfect couple of guys to give us their Mount Rushmores for mob movies. A couple of the good old Italians here, Place to Be Nation, starting off with Mr. J. Arsenio D'Amato. Johnny, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? You got a mumbling, stuttering prick to talk about this stuff. good choice there. And I promise to behave a little better than last time. I kind of whacked somebody on the Mount Rushmore on their choices, and I'll be a lot more respectful tonight. Even though I wish that person was here with us, he was supposed to be, but it looks like a last minute he got whacked or something.
Yeah, he was supposed to make a drop off, but he didn't quite get there. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I took care of that thing for you.
You know that guy, that time, at the place, the thing. Yeah. All right, and also joining us, the Podfather, Scott Criscolo. How you doing?
Andy Atherton, it is a pleasure. And Johnny, that guy, you ain't going to see him no more. I just got one thing to say to you, Atherton. Go get your fucking shine box. Thanks for having me on. I think with your two guests tonight, this topic is quite fitting, I think, more than anything else. But I'm looking forward to talking about it tonight because, admittedly, looking at my walls, maybe there are obvious choices, but then there's some that aren't. So I'm looking forward to this topic tonight, believe it or not, even though it's not as easy as it seems.
So like I say, we're talking about mob movies. Those movies, you know, they're crime movies. They're, you know, they could be different forms. I mean, they're not all dramas. There are some comedies. There are some other movies you may not consider mob movies, but, you know, we'll allow them because they have some part of, if mob or whatever mafia is part of the storyline or integral to the plot, then I consider it a mob movie. So we're going to start with The Podfather, of course. Scott, give us the first entry on your Mount Rushmore of mob movies.
Well, if you know me, then this answer is about as obvious as it gets, but you can't talk about mob movies without talking about, to use a term that I use often, the gold standard. And that is, of course, The Godfather. It's the perfect movie for me. At a time in the early 70s when mob movies, like you mentioned, Andy, the mob was mob, you know, guys like Jimmy Cagney Edward G. Robinson. You know, they're like, hey, you see? They're all caricatures and jokes. But The Godfather was something that had never been seen before. Francis Ford Coppola took something that used to be a punchline and made it into something beautiful. You know, it's just a gorgeous movie. It was shot well. It was written well. It was acted well. The dialogue, the music, the color, the camera, the lines. I mean, it is a perfect movie at a time in the early 70s when society was very cynical, you know, Vietnam. And, you know, in 72, we had the kind of beginnings of Watergate. And Doyle's and, you're talking about a movie where everybody's a villain. You know, yeah, you want to puddle with Vito Corleone because he's the grandfather, but he's the godfather, the grandfather. You know what I mean? And again, made some great guys' careers, made Al Pacino, who I think was in one movie, made Talia Shire, kind of brought Marlon Brando back from kind of the edge. He was in stuff in the late 60s. He did Last Tango in Paris, which in essence was glorified porn. And, so he enhanced himself and got him back into the mainstream. And it's just a great story, just a great story. And there's scenes you remember fucking Sonny beating the shit out of Carlo with a fucking garbage can, which I like to do to many people. You know, you have fucking Luca Brasi getting the fucking fork in the hand and getting choked out by the Turk in the shit, Johnny. I always forget that family. The
Salazzo.
Yeah, Salazzo. But who's the other family? The other guy, that family that he was. Ah, shit.
Barzini. I knew
Barzini's the other guy. What was that family? God, fuck. Anyway, you know, and all those guys and
Bruno Tattaglia.
Tattaglia. Mm-hmm. The Tattaglias. And you know the toll booth, and which always makes me cry because I love Sonny. He's my favorite character. And you know the horse head, you know, and Waltz and his great lines. Johnny knows many of them. You know, it's just an amazing piece of cinema that at the time, I don't know if it would last today because mob movies are kind of not niche, but in the early 70s, it was the perfect movie at the perfect time. And when it comes to the standard bearer for talking about the mafia, The Godfather is it.
Yeah. All right. Johnny, it was on your list as well.
Of course. Talk about just the classic cinematography and the classic scene and the dichotomy of Michael during the christening. His boys are taking care of business and interspersed. The rest of the families are just getting whacked, just getting disposed of. Mo Green getting shot in the eye. The guy in the glass. The sliding door,
the revolving door. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And on the stairs, the guy dresses a cop. Just all those whackings, and as Michael is christening his son, just epic. But you know, besides the scenes of violence, this is, you know, one of the first movies growing up where, you know, were so quotable, where I really got into like the acting and the dialogue and just the brilliant quotes from and even from other lesser characters like Clemenza and Jack Waltz, which is, you know, our favorite scene where yeah. I'm no band leader. Yeah, you know, it was the best piece of ass I ever had, and I've had them all over. You know, just, we could go on and on, you know. Offer I Can't Refuse, the stuff that still gets quoted today. A man who doesn't spend time with his family, and right from the opening scene with Bonacere, and just brilliant. We could go on for 6 hours, but you know. We'll save that for some other podcast on Scott's Network.
We need a live watch. Clemenza describing the sauce, you know, fat Clemenza describing how to make the sauce, and fucking them eating the Chinese, and I don't know. Yeah. It's great.
When Michael whacks McCluskey, right? That's who he whacks.
Yeah. How's the food in this restaurant?
Yeah. The Italian food. Yeah. Get the
Italian food.
Yeah.
I did a list for this episode, and it was an honorable mention only because I've only seen it once or twice.
No, well, that's good. We need dissenting opinions.
You need dissenting opinions.
We can't force the. I noticed the younger generation isn't like us, Scott. They're not all chubbed up about it. Which
true.
I can understand. It is a little slow at times, and it is a little corny. The female characters are kind of weak. Maybe I don't want to. Yeah, I guess weaker. I don't want to say then they're not really. You know,
they're not fleshed out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I respect it. It's tremendous. It's an honorable mention of mine. All right, Johnny, give us one of yours.
Well, let's just get it over with, and it's the sequel, Godfather 2. just the same thing. One of the best sequels of all time. Some say it's even better than the first one because of the backstory where they go into Vito Corleone and his upbringing in Italy, and how his mother gets blown away, and how he has to escape from Don Finucci, and then in New York, how he becomes the mafia boss, and because he has to take care of the Black Hand. What's the guy's name, Scott? It's escaping me at this time.
The
Black Hand. Yeah.
Yeah, the guy with the white.
Yeah, Finucci.
Suit.
Yeah, yeah. Finucci, Don Finucci. Yeah.
Don Finucci. Yep.
I was thinking the old guy that he goes back to kill in Italy, that's Don Cheech.
Don Cheech, yep.
Yeah, where he says, my name, he says, well, what's your name? Vito Corleone. He goes, oh, what? I don't hear so well in Italian. And then he goes, yeah, my name is, my father was Vito Andolini, and this is for you, and he fucking carves him up.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Yeah. Okay. And then the evolution of Michael from family man to Stone Cold Killer, where he has to, the ending where he has to whack his brother. So he whacked his brother-in-law in one, which ends one, and at the end of two, he whacks his brother. So he becomes the monster. We say he starts as the innocent, college boy that they don't want in the family. And he served in the army. He was a big hero, and he turns into the vicious monster that we see at the end of one and at the end of two. It just continues. Just greatness all around. Also the court scenes they're kind of lengthy, but they're also entertaining with your boy from Rocky. When he's given testimony.
Oh, Gazzo.
Yeah.
God plays Gazzo. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So you were like a buffer. I mean, he's like, oh, what's that? What's a buffer? And he's in the courtroom. He's like, yeah, a buffer. Yeah. So even all those right. Scenes were entertaining. And with Frankie Pantangeli, Frankie Five Angels.
Yep.
And Hyman Roth. A lot of great actors. Also, very quotable.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and of course it was on Scott's Mount Rushmore as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's an epic. It's the first sequel to ever win Best Picture. I think it's one of only two if you count Lord of the Rings: Return of the King as a sequel. Some people don't. Some people consider it a part, but that's fine. But I mean, Johnny's right. I mean. Just the story of Michael just becoming colder and colder and colder. He wasn't his father. He learned that. He wasn't his father. His father had a warm side to him. Michael had no warm sides to him at all, not even to his kids. So you saw Michael just devolve into this just icy administrator of this empire, and like Johnny said, you can't discount Lee Strasberg as Hyman Roth. I mean, I love the scene. They're just sitting there eating cake on the balcony. It's like, us. It's like sitting eating cake. And meanwhile, Hyman Roth's trying to plot his death.
So, I want all of you to enjoy your cake.
Enjoy your cake. it's an epic story. And the backstory is great because it shows us how he started, that Vito Corleone did not want this life, but he got kind of sucked into it by Clemenza, expertly played by Bruno Kirby, by the way. And, and then he met Tessio. And of course, that was always very sad, that scene when Tessio's found out at the end of the first one, when he was colluding with Bozzini. And, it's just a great story, and I don't think it's better than the first one, although to me they're splitting hairs, quite honestly, with the two of them. It's just, again, maybe it's not as memorably quoted as the first one, but some people will contend that the story is better. So that's, everybody has a different opinion on the second one, but most people acknowledge that it's in a top 10 or 15 of greatest movies of all time and probably the greatest sequel of all time.
And there's a couple of actors who had small parts, but who would have bigger parts later, like Uncle Junior.
Yeah. Yep.
An actor named Frank Severo, who plays in the, in the old Italian scenes, who was his Clemenza? He was his other sidekick, Frank Zavera, who will come up in one of our other movies in Mount Rushmore.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It made my Mount Rushmore. I love the character arc. I love the backstory. Yeah, you guys.
So you like two better than one?
Just slightly better.
No, that's fine. That's
good.
One. Like I said, I greatly respect one, but two just grabbed my attention a little more for some reason. I don't know. I gravitated more towards that. I mean, I watched these back to back. I still haven't seen Godfather 3, and probably, I don't know if I will, but I thought it was incredible, just everything you guys said.
And yeah. on a side note, I think there should be a separate Mount Rushmore, even though his movies would fit because he didn't do many, but was there a better actor that brought so much to the screen than John Cazale? Yeah. I mean, think about it. Think the guy did five movies in his life. The Conversation, both Godfathers, Dog Day Afternoon, and The Deer Hunter.
Yeah, he was like Sandy Koufax.
Yeah.
he didn't waste any years.
No bullets wasted. Nope, not at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to offer up one of mine that neither of you guys have.
Good.
I'm going to analyze this because it's probably one of the, all right, let's say the best, I guess, mafia comedy, in my opinion. Just the you know, like you said, like you talked about with Lee Strasberg in The Godfather, you know, mm-hmm. and Godfather 2, you know, and Tony Soprano or Ed Hesh. You have to, there's always a nice balance to have a nice Jewish guy in the mafia movies. And having Ben Sobel, Billy Crystal, with Paul Vitti, Robert De Niro is hysterical in this movie.
Yes,
just
he is.
The back and forth, you know, the little things like, you know me? No, you don't. You know, no, you don't. And, you know, what it's not an Oedipal complex. What do you mean? You know, it's something, you're in love with your mother. It's a Greek thing. Fucking Greeks. You know, what do you do when you're upset? I hit a pillow and boom, boom, boom. Like, you don't hear the word no very often. I do, but mostly it's no. So,
yes.
Yeah. What do you guys think of Analyze This?
I love it. And I also love it because of the smaller parts, the smaller the mm-hmm. character actors. The guy that plays Jelly.
Oh, Jelly is great.
Joe Vitarelli, yeah.
Yes.
Primo Chaz Palminteri is in it. Great supporting cast. Pat Cooper is even in it. Plays Sal. Leo Rossi plays Carlo. Just a lot of smaller parts. Really well.
Yeah, like when they have the guy in the trunk when they first meet him, and they just keep trying to shut the trunk. He's like, "Hey, I'm hungry. I'm gonna go get something." Well, I want a sandwich. What's smaller than a sandwich? Half a sandwich. Scott, what do you think? Analyze This.
I like it a lot. I also like the sequel, Analyze That. I applaud you, Andy, because you're one of my few comedy movie friends who will always turn to the comedies even more than the dramas. And I applaud that. And it's good that you're kind of giving a counter to John and I, who appreciate good drama mafia deaths. And you're coming here with the funny stuff, you know, like we're clowns. You're amusing us. No, we'll quote that movie later. No, I enjoy this a lot. One thing about Robert De Niro I've always liked is this is a guy. Besides, it's Bobby D, and he might be a future. That him alone might be a future Mount Rushmore episode.
Yeah.
He could do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, he could do mob guys. He could do Irish guys. He could do Jewish guys. He could do, you know. He could do Creole. If you ever saw Angel Heart with Mickey Rourke and Lisa Bonet, he was talking, you know, that Creole, New Orleans, Bayou sound, you know, and to be the counter to what he was in Godfather Part Two is pretty funny and pretty amazing. And Billy Crystal's just good at what he does. I like both those movies. I don't own them. I wish I did. I'll have to find a 2-pack. I bet you I can get both on one Blu-ray, but both of them are funny. But yeah, Analyze This is a good one because it was probably the first funny mob movie that wasn't a parody of mob movies like Oscar or, I just had one in my head and I lost it. Oh, damn it. Never mind. I had another one in my head. But like movies like that, that where the mob was a caricature. This is a funny movie with an actual mob guy. And you don't see that very often. And that was the first time you saw it. So I like that pick. I like that pick because it's a little it was a different twist.
Yeah, as a guy who had, he was basically having a nervous breakdown. So, you know, a lot, it's got a lot of pressure, you know, and they played it fairly, you know, straight. There was a lot of stuff was for laughs, but it was, you know, that's what made it so good was, you know, just how, you know, he stayed in character. And, you know, the second one, yeah, I like the second one, not nearly as much, but, you know, the first one is great. So, Scott, back to you, though. Give us another entry on your Mount Rushmore.
Well, and by the way, Analyze This directed by Harold Ramis. So when you have a movie like that in the hands of someone like him, you know you're in for a good movie. My third one, which again, no surprise, I've already quoted it three times, and I have that poster on the opposite end of my wall from The Godfather, and that is of course Goodfellas. And I love Goodfellas for the same reason I love The Godfather, because I love the mob, but because it's a different snapshot. Coppola painted the mafia as this grandiose kind of faraway fantasy with beautiful houses and the music and as Johnny said, the cinematography and the cameras and the tones. Scorsese in his coked up head made the mafia in his world look like trash. Like, yeah, you want to get in this life, but there are consequences. The consequences Coppola didn't emphasize the consequences. Like Michael, it was a long game for Michael when he would get the consequences of his actions. But for the characters in Goodfellas, their consequences were immediate. And it showed the everyday life of a mob guy. And particularly one who did not have an in. You know, Henry Hill was Irish, so, or English, or Scottish, whatever he was. Anyway, he wasn't Sicilian or Italian. So
no, yeah, he was half and half.
He was half and half, so he wasn't enough. Just like I wouldn't be enough. You know, and it's a sad, you know, so it's somebody from the outside looking in. And again, well shot, great soundtrack. You know, you can't listen to Layla now without seeing Frankie Carbone hanging in the truck. You know, and how many times, Johnny, have we walked around going, I got to get the papers, get the papers.
That's Frankie Carbone. That's what I was talking about. Frank Severo.
Frank Severo,
He was in, he was in Godfather 2.
Yes, he was. Yep.
And in The Wedding Singer.
Yes, he was. Also, and same thing with another future Sopranos guy. I don't know if Dominic Chianese was in Goodfellas, but Tony Sirico was, who That's of course right. would go on to play Pauly Walnuts. He was in Goodfellas. But yeah, the reason I love Goodfellas is because it's just an amazing movie. Again, amazing actors, and it showed the moderately glamorous side of the mafia, but it also showed it was the back end. Whereas like in The Godfather, you saw the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the golden years. In Goodfellas, it starts in the 50s, but as it went into the 60s, into the 70s, you saw like, you know, the darker side. And the common denominator for both movies is narcotics. Vito Corleone paid the price for not getting into almost paid the price for not getting into narcotics. Henry Hill and Tommy and Jimmy faced consequences for getting into the narcotics business. And, you know, it's just an amazing story about how not everything was rosy when you were a wise guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it came in a year that another big mob movie came out. You mentioned it a moment ago, Andy. But this movie will always stand the test of time. I consider it, and I love Scorsese, I consider this his magnum opus. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you've got Taxi Driver and you got Mean Streets and you got a ton of other movies. But to me, this is his magnum opus. And again, I love it so much because it's the darker side, the non-glamorous side of being a mob guy, which was a different take than Coppola did in The Godfather.
Mm-hmm. All right. Of course, Johnny had it as well. Johnny, what do you love about Goodfellas?
Well, the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Playing Layla over all the bodies getting whacked after the Lufthansa heist went wrong. That's just the brilliant use of music when they're whacking Billy Bats down by the river, the way yeah. down upon. What's that? A song by it's Donovan.
Yep. Yeah,
the use of music was groundbreaking in the 90s, and once again so quotable, and some disgusting acts by individuals, but still that you rooted for him, you know, just the way he whacks Spider, that stuttering prick, just terrible.
Nice fucking game. Nice fucking yeah. game.
Nice fucking game. Johnny, I've decided, by the way, I'm looking at your new name is Johnny Roast Beef. Okay, you're Johnny Roast Beef. Andy, you're Fat Andy. And do we have any Franks? Because we need a Frankie the Wop. I don't know where we're going to find one, but.
When he introduces all the characters in the bar, and, you know, the one guy's like, hey, I took care of that thing for you. And then Jimmy Two Times, yeah, I'm going to get the papers. and Frankie Carbone, hey, Get a seat.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, it made mine as well. It was I think this might have been the first mob movie I saw in a movie theater, because I saw this freshman year of college. Yeah, and just Henry going and beating the crap out of that guy who was harassing Karen, you know, and she Karen was such a great part of the movie because she was such a central character, you know, and Paulie goes down because of you know, they turn state's evidence on him to avoid getting put away, you know, Henry Hill. Yeah, it's just so the whole thing, the three of them, you know, we got Ray Liotta, Joe Pesci, and Robert De Niro. They were just so perfect as like this trio, these best friends. I mean, it was so, you know, you felt it in your gut when Tommy gets whacked, you know, with the revenge for Billy Bats. It's just so good. Oh my God. Yeah. When they go to, you know, Tommy's mother's house, he goes, oh, I love this painting right here. You got this one dog looking this way, the other dog looking that way. And the guy says, what do you want from me? You know, hey, yeah, Hendry, guys. Hendry, I got a leg here. I got a wing. Hendry, Hendry.
I got a wing.
Hey, Mom, we got to take the foot off. Or the foot, you know, the hoof.
The hoof.
I love that car. He's like, another one. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. What did I tell you?
You're getting a lie. You're digging a fucking hole. I mean, you look at the cast, and you're talking about future, not just Tony Sirico, but you got a myriad of future Goodfellas or Sopranos guys. You've got Frank Vincent, Billy Bats, of course, would be Frank. Oh God, the hell was his name on the Sopranos? Anyway, he's in that. You got obviously Michael Imperioli is Spider. Do some Sesame Spider, you bumbling prick, you. You've got
Phil Leotardo.
You're gonna take
Phil
that.
Leotardo, duh.
Yeah.
You got Tony Sirico, as I mentioned. He stacks. Tony stacks.
Samuel Jackson's in it too.
Yeah, well, he stacks. He's the one that gets. Yeah. You'd be late to your own funeral. I love it. I love when fucking Frankie Carbone's at the fucking door. He's gonna take the pot of coffee out with him.
It's like, make that coffee to go.
Put the fucking pot down, you asshole. You got Big Puss is in it. Vinny Pastore's in it. Big Puss, he's in it. You know, you got so many amazing guys, and also in it, a guy that I never got to meet, but Dr. G actually met, Frankie Pellegrino. Who plays Johnny Dio? Frankie Pellegrino, of course, was the co-owner of Rayo's. Yeah, Dr. G actually got to meet him. I met his partner because he had passed away by the time I got into Rayo's. But just an amazing, amazing cast, and not just Debbie Mazar. She's one of the coked up. You know, Jerry Bales in it.
Maury.
Maury. Oh, Maury. I love Maury.
He's breaking my balls. I thought
he never shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. So good. Oh my God, so good. What's the other scene? And you know what? This is definitely a coming out party for Lorraine Bracco, because no one had ever heard of her before this. And I like when she's banging on the fucking, excuse me, in room some Janice Rossi is a dirty whore. It's like so odd. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. It's just such a great movie, and it made so many careers, just like The Godfather did. You know, I mean, obviously Coppola got a lot of established people, but, you know, for the first one, you know, Al Pacino was a fucking nobody. Talia Shire was a nobody. And look at the people in this movie that, you know, came out of the woodwork. Tobin Bell, the future Jigsaw, was the parole officer, you know?
Yeah.
just amazing. Just amazing. Frankie the Wop.
Stir the sauce. I'm stirring the sauce.
Also, the doctor that Henry gets, Liotta that gets drugs from is Isaiah Whitlock, who's famous for The Wire and other stuff.
Oh, right. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And also, it's loosely based on real life events. Although the most people pretty much in agreement that Henry Hill's very full of shit. That, you know, he exaggerates a lot. So it's a lot from his perspective. But a lot of the events, you know, the Lufthansa heist obviously was a real deal that did happen.
Yes, it was. Yep.
And as a matter of fact, in my town, there was one of the Gumars was. She was one of the Gumars, one of the guys involved in the Lufthansa, and she was like a hairdresser. And just one day, she disappeared, and was never to be seen again. So a lot of stuff was close to reality. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a Henry Hill bio years ago, and this is back in the early days of Bio Channel. Another producer who had no clue about pop culture was like, I guess there was a typo on our production plan. And she screened the Benny Hill bio, and she turns to me and somebody else. She goes, how come they call Henry Hill Benny? And I'm like, what? I'm like, it's two different people. Like, she mistakenly screened Benny Hill. And I'm like, no, you need to, this is the one you need to see. So she watched, she goes, that's a terrible person. Why would we have a biography on him? I'm like, oh, bless your heart.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, you know, you've got, there is one, true character in the movie. I don't think there's any true characters in The Godfather, but Mikey Franzese, who was a, I don't know if it was he Columbo or was he a, I forgot which family he was. I don't know if he was Bonanno or Columbo, but he was a capo, Mikey Franzese. And he's now like a motivational speaker in prisons or whatever. He was in the, well, he wasn't in it, but a character playing him was in it. Otherwise, almost everybody in this movie was, well, not made up, but obviously, you know, a lot of them were exaggerated, but
Benny Hill would have been a good gangster, man. The way he could have whacked guys, by he cracked them on top of the head. The way he used to crack that old guy on top of his head. That's how he would whack people.
what an amazing, such a good movie,
All right, Johnny, finish off your
Mount Rushmore. Yeah, sorry to be too predictable, but we're going to stick with Martin Scorsese, and we're going to go with Casino. And after that, we could chop up on some honorable mentions, but I'm definitely going with Casino. Joe Pesci and De Niro again. Sorry to be boring, but it's another classic tale. Frankie Vincent does get his revenge in this one. This time he gets to whack Pesci's character. In a real brutal scene, aluminum bats and a lot of mud buried alive, and once again, great actors: James Woods, Sharon Stone, Don Rickles is in it, and another tour de force by Scorsese, more Vegas based a history of how the mafia took over Vegas, and also educational too.
Yeah. Scott, didn't make your list. Would it have been an honorable mention?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Casino is an exceptional movie. It takes it from a different perspective. It is mob based, but it's specifically involving the casino. So it's a little different than everyone says, oh, it's just, you know, Goodfellas with different people in it. No, it's not even close. Just cause Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci's in it, it's good. No, it's not. It's a casino. It's a mob movie, but it's based on the casinos and the burgeoning Vegas you know, strip life, which you didn't see in The Godfather when they were in Vegas, because in Reno, because, you know, that life hadn't quite been built yet when they were there in the late 50s. But, yeah, no, I like Casino. I like Casino a lot. It's a different kind of movie. Sharon Stone is awesome in it. You know, and Joe Pesci's a bigger scumbag than he is in this, because he's like, you know, the wife's crying. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, hey, I want you to fucking blow me now. You know, it's so awesome. You know,
that was his move. He got the chicks to cry on his shoulder, and he pushed his heads down right into the thing and laughed. That was before the Me Too movement.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
I have not seen all the way through. I've seen bits and pieces. So it didn't make my list, but it's on my
list. And also, a sad scene when he beats the shit out of Don Rickles with a phone. He goes, "What are you looking at, you bald-headed Jew prick?" And he beats the fuck out of him with one of those old-school, like, rotary phones that had the handle. And poor Don Rickles.
I know. Sad, even though Don Rickles is awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, good movie. Good movie. Good call, John. Good pick.
All right. I had on my list, I had A Bronx Tale.
Yes. Honorable mention. Yes. Very
yes.
Good.
Me too. I really love that movie. I love the tale of now I'm blanking on the kid's name. That you know, going from a little kid all the way up to a young man.
Colangelo.
I forgot what they.
Yeah.
See. They call him. That's what they call him. Yeah. I love the movie. I think Chaz Palminteri just steals it. Robert De Niro. Doesn't play a mob guy in a mob movie. He plays a guy who's kind of a anti-mob, I guess, just a hardworking, you know, bus driver, wants to see his son do the right thing. The whole crew is so a very well cast movie. What do you guys think of Bronx Tale? Is honorable? Johnny said honorable mention, Scott.
Yeah, definitely honorable mention for you. Only it didn't make, only because it's more of like a love story. I think than emphasis on the mafia, and also a lot of emphasis on, you know, racial relations, you know, interracial romance, and his friends, you know, were racist and stuff, how he overcomes that. It's also about growing up. He kind of respected more the gangster than his father, so. It was a lot more things than just a basic gangster movie, but it's great too. And of course the classic part is with the biker bar, when the bikers are causing havoc in the bar, and then they ask him to leave, and they say no, and then they lock the doors and they say, "Now yous can't leave." And the gangsters, the Palminteri and the boys go in and beat the crap out of them. So.
Yeah. And they a lot of, and this has many good nicknames in this one. The Whale, Jimmy Coffee Cakes.
The Mush, of course.
I still use that to this day.
Who doesn't? We still use it.
We call each other mushes.
Yep.
You're sitting there at a table, and you sit in the anchor seat on blackjack, and then you blow it. You take, a card, and the dealer hits a 21, and you fucking mush. That's all you hear.
Johnny, we all know a ton of mushes. His name was actually Calogero, and then Sonny called him C. I agree with Johnny. The only reason I didn't put it on my list is because, again, I think it was more of let's put it this way. A Bronx Tale is a lot like Goodfellas, except in A Bronx Tale, the dad wins, whereas in Goodfellas, the mob wins, because young Henry Hill was enamored by the mob. Young C was enamored by the mob, but in the end, the father figure was stronger than, what's his name? Bo Starr played his dad in Goodfellas. But yeah, I agree with Johnny. I think it's a great family story with a mob kind of underbelly, but still a wonderful movie. And Chaz Palminteri is amazing. He wrote the screenplay. It's a great movie, and again, it shows Robert De Niro in a different light. Good pick, Andy. Good pick.
All right, Scott, why don't you finish off your Mount Rushmore?
All right, I was torn. This is the one spot that I was torn on, because I have so many choices. One of them I'm going to have in my honorable mention, so I won't mention it now. But I am going to put the one movie that doesn't have Italian. Well, I shouldn't say it doesn't have Italians in it, but the one movie that's not Italian based. It's a movie not many people remember. Came out in the 80s. Long movie, just as long as The Godfather. It's called Once Upon a Time in America, and it's Robert De Niro and James Woods, and it's about Bugsy Siegel and Meyer Lansky. So it's about, in essence, the Jewish mob in the days of Lucky Luciano and Frank Costello in the early days before when the commission was created, when the mob was just a bunch of guys running around beating the shit out of each other for no reason. Great, great movie. Well written, again, well acted, maybe a bit long. But I think it tells a great, another story about smart mafia guys that didn't have to rely on violence. You know, it wasn't totally based on Meyer Lansky, and you know, Robert De Niro's name was Noodles, James Woods was Max, but it was pretty much supposed to be based on, by the way, Joe Pesci's in that too. he's Frankie Rinaldi. But it was pretty much about these two guys who are not thugs. They're business people, and they use their wits and their ability to tackle money. They weren't bag men. They were like Tom Hagen. You know, they were like consiglieres. You know, they're guys who have the business savvy that you need, and not just blunt force objects. You know, so I've always appreciated that in this movie. Again, a good cast. Again, Joe Pesci, Burt Young, Treat Williams, Danny Aiello's in it. Who else is in it? I think that's about it. I mean, there's some other actors, obviously, but they're like the main ones. So I think Louise Fletcher's in it too. I think Nurse Ratchet's in it. I think
Nurse Ratchet.
I think she's Nurse Ratchet. Yeah, I think she's in it. Anyway, I really like that movie a lot. It's a different spin on the mob. It's more business guys. But it's a long movie. I mean, the extended cut's 250 minutes. I mean, we're talking 4 hours and 10 minutes. So we're talking like Return of the King length. So it's a great movie, but it's a different spin on the mob for me. But it was tough. I had at least two other movies on my list, which I'll mention when we get to honorable mentions. But
yeah.
I had to put that one on my Mount Rushmore because it's a different spin on on the other movies I had on there.
Okay. Johnny, are you a fan of this movie?
Yes, it's very good. I haven't seen it in a while, so I don't have too much to comment on. I got to revisit to get my memories up. But definitely recommend. It's very good.
Yeah, I've actually never seen it, so it'll be another one to add to my growing list.
Yeah, you need an afternoon, though.
yeah, I know. And we'll probably talk about another movie in the afternoon at some point. All right, so we're going to go around and just start mentioning a few honorable mentions. I'm going to throw one out there that may be a little out of the box, L.A. Confidential. I mean, you may not think of it as more of a crime noir movie, but I think it could be considered a mafia movie. Russell Crowe, Guy Pearce, Kim Basinger, excellent movie. Great, cinematography, great story. I don't know, did it even make your guys' radar, or were you guys thinking more, Italian?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're a little too biased. If none of the actors has a vowel in the last name.
Yeah, and they have bad taste in food, then no.
All right. No, it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Yeah, if we ever do a noir movie, I think that will make many lists, but... Johnny, give us one of your honorable mentions.
Yeah, speaking of vowel on the last name, Donnie Brasco with Pacino and Johnny Depp. Once again, it's not a heavy mob movie because it's more from the Depp plays the undercover cop, so it's from the kind of the police perspective. But still, definitely a good inner workings of the mob. The guy Michael Madsen is excellent in this too.
Yeah. Sonny Black. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scott. It was an honorable mention of Scott's as well.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing movie. You know, because in the story of the mob, Joe Pistone infiltrating the Bonanos was a big deal, and it needed to be documented. And Johnny's right. Michael Madsen as Sonny Black was very, very good. Mm-hmm. Two more movies that I wanted to put on here that I didn't. Donnie Brasco was one of them. The other one, again, you say this one has no Italians in it. You mentioned Russell Crowe. It is gangster related. I wouldn't say mob per se. I just watched it recently with my mom. American Gangster with Russell Crowe and Denzel Washington, about Frank Lucas, who was big time heroin guy in Harlem in the 60s and 70s. Same thing, organized crime, not necessarily mafia, although they are referred to in it. Just an amazing movie about, you know, the burgeoning, another drugs movie. It's about the burgeoning addiction of heroin in the 60s and 70s, particularly also in Vietnam with the veterans and soldiers. And the other one that I had in my honorable mention, that I wanted to put on there, but was The Irishman.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Hard for me to put on there, but it definitely needs to be mentioned, because whether you saw it in the theater or you saw it on Netflix, it tells a great story. It tells a great story. Again, about a guy who was good at what he did. He wasn't really a mob guy per se. He was, and it wasn't so much about the mafia as it was about union corruption. I mean, 2/3 of the movie is Al Pacino as Jimmy Hoffa saying cocksucker for like 5 hours. You hear cocksucker like, I don't know, 70 times in the movie. But just such a great story. But again, tough to put on the Mount Rushmore because it's not entirely mafia. I mean, they do mention the Philly mob guy, not the Chicken Man.
Bruno, Crazy Joe Gallo? Crazy
no, Joe before Gallo, him. Bruno, Frank Bruno? Not Frank Bruno. He was a boxer. I'm going to have to look it up now because it's going to piss me off. Who played him? Joe Pesci. No, Joe Pesci didn't play him. Harvey Keitel. Angelo Bruno. He was the Philly mob guy before the Chicken Man, and then it was what's his face, the crazy Joe there, Crazy Phil. So it wasn't totally mob centric, so it was kind of hard to put on the Mount Rushmore, but a great movie regardless.
Yeah, all right. Now, I was a little disappointed in the reception to it, that it was too long. You know, the people didn't give it a chance, but.
I agree.
I really liked it. You got to be patient. It told the story. It's just, you know, it's hard to believe. You know, once again, I don't want to say the younger generation or whatever, but nowadays, you know, people can brag about, I binged this. You know, I sat on my ass for 20 hours and watched this stupid show, but they, you know, they couldn't hang in there for 2 hours and 50 minutes of The Irishman. But,
yeah. That's what I was going to bring up is if we were to do this. If, say, they would do a Mount Rushmore 5 years from now, 10 years from now, would The Irishman make it? You know, because it's so recent, that's why.
Yeah, but also, it's tough, as far as the top four best. It might make a top 10 list, so it's kind of tough. But another honorable mention I had was Carlito's Way. Damn, Pacino again.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot about Pacino, but definitely that's another classic. Sean Penn is terrific in that one.
Yeah, I threw up as Scott, no doubt to Scott, a few comedies on there. Get Shorty. I mean, I consider that a mob movie. Chili Palmer is the Shylock, and Dennis Farina steals the movie. I think Travolta. It's arguably, I think, Travolta's best performance. I like this better than Vincent Vega, because it was such a great follow-up, and he was tremendous as Vincent Vega, but he owned this movie. But Dennis Farina kind of steals it. You know, that one scene in the barbershop where it's like, I eat, ergo, fuck you. It doesn't matter. When I say jump, you say okay? Okay. I also threw on The Freshman, Marlon Brando, Matthew. It is. It's kind of like, I wouldn't say forgotten or underrated, but I don't think a lot of people today would seek that movie out. And it's tremendous. I mean, Brando is really good in this. You have Penelope Ann Miller as his daughter. The whole thing with the supper club, I guess, who eat the endangered animals or something. And it was all, he was Matthew Broderick, who's basically set up the entire movie. And lastly, Some Like It Hot. You know, they the two main characters, you know, Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis. They witnessed the Valentine's Day Massacre. Mm-hmm. They have to go into hiding as women. Tremendous movie that, you know, anybody.
That's a classic.
You have to see it. Grateful that I saw it in a film class in high school because I loved it. And one of the best, you know, ending lines of a movie. He's driving off with the millionaire, Jack Lemmon's character, and he's like, but I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect. all right. Anything else you guys want to? Any other movies before we take a break?
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we covered all the big heavyweights. Yeah.
All right. Very cool. So we're gonna go to the other side of the coin. We're going to talk buddy cop movies. We're going to give those Mount Rushmores when we come back with Jerisoneal D'Amato and the Podfather, Scott Criscoll. I'm Andy Atherton, making Mount Rushmore. We'll be right back. Nation pop experience. Welcome back to Making Mount Rushmore. This is our ninth episode. We've had a great run out of the bat so far, and this episode is keeping that trend up. We've talked about our Mount Rushmores of mob movies. Now we're going to go to the other side of the law, the good side, I guess, so to speak. We're going to talk buddy cop movies. Those are those movies where, you know, you get a pair of guys or gals, and they have to work together despite, you know, differences, upbringings, cultures, or whatever you be, put their differences aside to, solve the big case, bring the big bad guy down. So, and they could be many forms, comedies, dramas, and so we're going to start with Mr. J. Arsenio D'Amato. Johnny, give us the first entry on your buddy cop Mount Rushmore.
All right. Hopefully I won't get disqualified for this because one of the stars actually... It doesn't play a cop. Isn't a cop, but they weren't partners. They weren't friends. But 48 Hours is one of my favorites of all time. I had regret because when we did the 80s comedy and the 80s action, I couldn't squeeze it on there because it's kind of hard to like quantify exactly what it is. And even as a buddy cop movie, I might not quantify because Eddie Murphy wasn't a cop. He was the criminal. Only Nick Nolte was. But this is tremendous, and the best scene was actually when he let Eddie Murphy play the cop, and he gave him the badge, and he had him go into the Redneck Bar and take care of business, which was one of the greatest scenes in the history. There, after that scene, when he walked out of the bar, I actually saw it in the theater, and people actually clapped in the middle of the movie because it was such a great scene, and. Just a lot of action and comedy and violence all together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it made my list as well. Yeah, we can.
Great villains in it. James Remar. Yeah, great villains in it too.
Yeah. Know what I mean? He puts the cowboy hat on and has the toothpick in his mouth and everything. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so much fun. They blew up my Porsche. So, Scott, did it make your list?
No, this was on my, it was on my,
honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions. Thank you. I think it's hilarious. I've never been the biggest Nick Nolte fan, but the movie's great. I mean, it's one of Eddie's first TV
leap.
Movie roles. And sorry, I brain farted there. And it's definitely one that I like watching. It's not on my top. It's not on my Mount Rushmore. I have some older films, but yeah, it's definitely one that I would go back to once in a while. It's a good buddy cop. But Johnny's right. Not every buddy cop movie has to have them both be cops, or even both be good, or even both be good cops, meaning good guy cops, as my first movie will attest to. So.
All right. Well, why don't you give us one of your entries?
All right. This one goes to goes back to what I mentioned about The Godfather in part one, in terms of the cynicism of the 70s. My first buddy cop movie is The French Connection, because you've got Popeye Doyle and Claudio Russo, expertly played by both Gene Hackman and Roy Scheider. Going after French heroin drug lords. And I mean, these guys beat the shit out of bar owners and fucking guys and, you know, just running over women and with baby carriages. And I mean, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And again, it takes place at a time in cinema in the early 70s when things were very dour and cynical. And maybe that's, and I'm, that's not my mood, everyone. Just want to let you know. You're like, wow, Jesus, guy, you're picking a lot of down movies, you miserable prick. No, I have some funny movies too. Don't worry. Yeah, it's definitely a movie I'll always go to. The sequel, this is one case where the sequel is not as good because he actually goes to, it's still the same storyline, but this time I think he goes to Paris. Not as good. And he's alone, so it's not a buddy cop movie. Roy Scheider's not in it, but. They work great together as these two New York cops who shirk the law, shirk the rules, or stretch them to strike their fancy. So I like it a lot. It's William Friedkin, an amazing director. Of course, he directed one of my favorite horror movies of all time, The Exorcist. So I like him anyway. But yeah, definitely on my list, French Connection, big time.
Nah, that's a great choice, Scott. Because, people forget about, you know, Roy Scheider is, you know, just so much known for Jaws, but he was great in that, too. And just a great depiction of 70s New York, just scuzzy, gritty, dark, dirty, just crime everywhere. Very good. Good choice, Scott.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm going to give my entry. Now, I love the Rush Hour series. And if I'm going to pick one of them, though, I'm going Rush Hour 2. Mm-hmm. You know, the first one is so good because it's the whole where Jackie, Lee and the hell is Chris Tucker's Carter, Lee and Carter, get to know each other. They have the whole, you know, they're sitting there eating like, you know, camel hump and all that stuff and and trying to, you know, break in, you know, to the Chinese restaurant and, yeah, to save the little girl from the bad guys. But the second one is so good. They're like, their shtick is established. It takes place in Hong Kong, I believe it is. I love, the scene in the karaoke bar. They have the scene in the massage parlor with the big fight. And then they come back and they end up in Vegas. You have Alan King as a scummy, you know, casino owner who ends up trying to double cross and gets whacked for his thoughts. You know, you got Ricky Tan, and my favorite though is the two women have a great fight. You have Isabella, and I love Zhang Ji. I don't know her name, but I have such a crush on her from this movie. She is so badass, and I love that fight between her and Chris Tucker at the end, and then how they have to escape from the casino blowing up. Yeah, it is so much fun. Johnny, you sound like you're a fan of the Rush Hour series.
Yeah, I had an honorable mention. The original. I mean, the sequels were good too. They're not that much worse than the original, but definitely a great mix of comedy, action, etc. You know, you get the Jackie Chan's kung fu in there, Chris Tucker's comedy. Great mix that definitely fits the role of a buddy cop movie perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, and Jackie was so big in Japan, and he was not well known in America before that, before the first Rush Hour movie.
Only the hardcore like kung fu fans, because
He did so many great. He's such a great physical comedian. He is so expressive with the fights and everything. I mean, I would highly suggest The Drunken Master.
Oh yeah.
If it, you know, a guy who can only do karate when he's hammered. Scott, what do you think of the Rush Hour movies?
They're on my honorable mentions. I love Jackie Chan. I love kung fu movies. I love Bruce. I will always love Bruce Lee. And Chris Tucker's a perfect slot because he's not overbearing in that role, as if like an Eddie Murphy or somebody who's that legendary. Chris Tucker's funny, but he's not in that class. And he fits perfectly in the role. So a good bounce back and forth. So yeah, no, it's in my honorable mention.
Yeah, he could be more ridiculous than Eddie Murphy or Chris Rock would have been in that role. The third one I think is okay. I mean, I've heard they've been rumors of a fourth one for a long time, but we'll see about that. All right, so Johnny, back to you. Give us another one of your entries.
All right, this is gonna be a surprise. We glossed on it. We just did the Year in Pop 1987, and it was one of the top 10 movies. And I refrain from commenting about it because I really love it, and it's under the radar. It's called Stakeout with Richard Dreyfuss and Emilio Estevez. It really fits the genre of buddy cop movies. It's everything I love. It's got a good comedy, good action, and a good decent story too, where they're staking out the girlfriend of a fugitive that they're after, and you know, and Dreyfuss winds up falling in love with her, and he winds up meeting her illegally. It's got a lot of good stuff in it.
Yeah, good choice. Scott, you have anything to add about Stakeout?
Good movie. I remember it well. I didn't think of it in my honorable mentions, but that's kind of like you, Johnny, with Once Upon a Time in America. I think that's when I gotta relive. It's been a long time since I've seen it, so I'm not gonna go too crazy, but definitely one of the probably forgotten ones of the late 80s. But that's one I gotta rewatch.
Yeah, I honestly have not seen it in a very long time. I remember it's like, you know, kind of the old guy and the young guy kind of a dynamic. But you know, I trust your judgment, Johnny. Scott, give us another entry in your Mount Rushmore.
Well, this one's obvious. It's been on AMC like every Saturday for like the last 2 months. They've done the marathon. You can't talk buddy cop without talking Lethal Weapon. I'll mention the first one, but they're all good. You know, you got Danny Glover, who's the hard-boiled, grizzled cop, and then you got Mel Gibson, who's got a few screws loose. Good bad guys. I have to argue, I like the first one, but I kind of dig the second one. I may argue that Lethal Weapon 2 might be the best. But I will put the first one just to kind of represent the franchise. But the Lethal Weapon franchise definitely needs to be on the Mount Rushmore because Danny Glover and Mel Gibson are amazing together. Then you add Joe Pesci to the mix. It's just total chaos, but in a good way. So Lethal Weapon for me.
Johnny, it was on your list as well.
Yeah, I had it. I definitely had it. And like you said, Scott, you could put two on there because two has Joe Pesci to add the comedic element, which one doesn't have. But I just stuck with one, the original, because it tells the story, you know, and it shows how Riggs, Mel Gibson, was in such a dark place. And he got out of that, and how they got to meet, and then their dynamic with Danny Glover, and how you know, he becomes close to with him and his family, and then the two, three, the sequels are very good for sequels, and even four, you know, this it's starting to go down by the end, but it's still entertaining. It's better than most fours of a lot of other franchises.
True. That is true.
I've actually never seen four, so
that's with Jet Li.
Chris Rock, right? He's also in that.
Yeah,
the second one is good. You know, I think that's probably the best villain. You know, he played Han or Jan from one of the Mighty Duck movies. Diplomatic immunity. He just keeps yelling.
Oh, yeah. What is that actor's name? God damn it.
Joss Ackland.
Joss Ackland. He's in that music video, too. I forgot who the artist was, but great movie. Great movie. Great movie, Francis.
Yeah, that scene in 2, though, when he finds his girlfriend, Patsy Kensit, you know, wearing his jacket in the water. Oh, my God.
Brutal,
what a gut punch that was. Yeah. You know, and then the addition of Rene Russo in the third one. Yeah, you could argue the whole series should be on here. All right, so I'm going to go with one of mine that is not on either of your guys' list. I don't even know if you made it, but I love this movie, and the ladies got to get some representation here. So I'm going with The Heat. I love that movie. Sandra Bullock, the straight-laced FBI agent, Melissa McCarthy, the gritty street cop with, and it's one of those movies which has the great Boston accents that get, you know, are you a knock? Am I a what? A knock, a knock. Like Johnny Depp in 21 Jump Street. Are you a knock? Oh, am I a narc? Just so many funny scenes in that movie. They play off each other so great. Are you guys fans of The Heat?
I got to be honest, I don't even really know it that well. So I that's one I got to watch. I don't know that one that well.
Mm-hmm. Andy, I love you. I promised I was going to be a good boy. I'm not going to do you like I did Roger. But
yes, you can.
Melissa McCarthy is horrendous. I can't stand her. She was great in Bridesmaids, and that was it, man. I mean, I can't recommend anything with Melissa McCarthy. just plays the fat slob. Not funny to me, but I'm sorry, but yeah, I can't recommend that one.
It's okay, we agree.
Yeah.
No, I think the movie is so funny, and I don't think she's one of the best parts though. You know, I think Sandra Bullock is really funny, and Melissa McCarthy's family really steals it. You know, he's like, you know, one scene with the new kid, Joey McIntyre plays one of her brothers. He's yelling at he's like, did you get your suitcase with the wheels on it, guys, so you can do it yourself? You know, it's like, oh, for Christmas, I'm going to get you a dick sucker so you can do that yourself.
Not bad.
Some funny lines in that movie. All right, Johnny, then give us your last Mount Rushmore buddy cop movies.
Another one where it has two sequels, which also could be in it, but I'll stick with the original Bad Boys with Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. I think just about everybody knows these and has seen it. Just same thing. Everything I love, good violence, good action, comedy, great chemistry between these two. Bad Boys, you know, all the classics, and it yielded two great sequels. As a matter of fact, the third sequel is the number one movie of 2020 at the box office.
This ain't a car, it's a dick with two chairs. Scott, it was an honorable mention of yours.
Yeah, Bad Boys is awesome. I love the first two are good. The third is questionable, but... But the first two are definitely very, very good. It's one of the few things I love Will Smith in. The thing I love Will Smith in the most will be mentioned shortly. Another buddy cop movie. But yeah, no, Johnny's right on. I mean, Bad Boys is great. I like the first two. Third's it's okay. But the first two are top notch. I agree 100% with that choice. Big time.
Good mixture with Michael Bay. You know, a lot of stuff's going to get blown up. It's going to be overblown and everything. And it's interesting. If you go all the way back to 1995, actually, Martin Lawrence was the biggest star.
Absolutely.
You know, believe it or not, in 1995. So, yeah. He was hot because Martin was a hot show for a few years. And he had some hits on his own. So at that time, he was the biggest star.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, for sure. Scott, give us another one of your entries.
This one I put only because it's actually another one of those they're best buddies, but they're jealous or they have like a rivalry. I had to go with Tango and Cash. It's Sly, and I love Sly. and one of the better 80s buddy cops. I've always been up and down with Kurt Russell, but I like him in this one. It actually just barely, it was the last film to be released in the 1980s, which not many people know. But yeah, it came out in December of 89. I remember I was a junior in high school when I went and saw it. Yeah, they're both narcotics detectives. They're good. They just work well together. I enjoy it. It's a good, you know, a lot of Sly's 80s cop movies like Nighthawks and Cobra and good stuff, obviously intertwined with the Rambos, but one that I'll always have a soft spot for.
Johnny, you tell me what's that
guy? Yeah, it made my honorable mention too. Definitely a typical 80s, great star power and great comedy. Yeah,
I agree with that. All right, Scott, you're the only one that has anything left besides honorable mention, so give us your last entry.
All right, my last entry, kind of like Johnny, who was thinking outside the box, another buddy cop that has Will Smith in it. So tell me if it's legit, but I went with Men in Black. Yeah. They are cops. They're interstellar cops, and I love Tommy Lee Jones, and I love sci-fi, and it's comedy sci-fi. It made me miss them even more after realizing that Men in Black International was fucking horrible. Even though it had Thor and the Valkyrie.
They should have. Yeah, it was a big disappointment.
Yeah, it was not good. And it made me miss Will and Tommy Lee. Yeah, no, it's just so good. Came at a good time in the 90s when we needed something like that. And I think it needs its spot on my Mount Rushmore because it's so different than any other type of buddy authority movie, if you will. Authorities movie.
Yeah, no, it's definitely allowable. It's what a great dynamic. I mean, he's like, I'm not, all right, let's, you know, the whole thing, Will Smith gives him the whole spiel, like, you know, you recognize the skills and don't call me a junior or anything. Oh, whatever you say, sport. All right, kid. You know, all the little aliases and Linda Fiorentino is really good in it, and what's his face, Vincent D'Onofrio wearing the Egger suit, you know, and the whole bug and oh god, it's so much fun. I feel like I'm gonna break this thing. You know, Zed played by Rip Torn, you know, good pick. Johnny?
Thank
you. Yes, it was on my honorable mention. And the sequel is good too. What was it, the third one crapped out, or the
The third one.
Yeah.
I mean, the International had Liam Neeson and, what the hell is her name now? The British. I'll try to look it up. But those were good parts of the movie. But other than that, yeah, the movie was kind of crap. God, now it's bothering me. I'm looking up. Camille Nanjiani was it. Emma Thompson. As Agent O, she was really good in it too, as well. But Johnny, give us one of your honorable mentions.
The Other Guys.
Yep.
Damn, it's about 10 years old now. It's kind of forgotten. But Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. Yeah, I hate to be repetitive, but the comedy and good action. Uh-huh. Actually, more comedy with with Will Ferrell, of course. And a great cameo is when the two hero cops, Samuel Jackson and The Rock, get friggin' iced out, which paves the way for Wahlberg and Will Ferrell.
Yeah, it made my honorable mentions just for those two. I want to see that movie. I want to see The Rock and Samuel Jackson in a buddy.
Yeah.
Can we make a partner? And then they play. Yeah. There goes my hero and splat. So great. This guy, you fan the Other Guys?
Yes, I am. Exceptional. Rock and what's his name? Just such utter fucking cop douchebags. They did such a great job. Yeah. And Samuel Jackson, just being two fucking utter, like, they perfectly played cop douchebags. Definitely. I like the Other Guys. I was thinking about that too.
Now give us another one of your honorable mentions.
This is, I don't know if you character. I might need clarification from the moderator. because this is almost a horror buddy cop movie, but would you accept 7?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'd accept 7.
Okay. Yep. 7, that's because it's a great horror buddy cop movie. You know, Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman, and of course, Kevin Spacey's role is amazing when he opens the box at the, well, I don't want to spoil it. Special invitation of spoilers resigned.
When
he opens the fucking box.
What's the box?
Yep, and his fucking wife's head's in it. I mean, it's fucking amazing. But yeah, nah, I like 7. Mm-hmm. I also like the Dustin Rhodes character 7, but not as good as the movie.
No, I really like that. Oh, just because it's like dark. When you think buddy cop, you think more like light, you know. Like I always said, I like the more comedic ones, but that's a good choice too. Sure.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna go with 22 Jump Street. The 21 is good, but I love the second one better because they're in college. Their whole Ice Cube is so great as a captain, especially when they find out that Schmidt banged his daughter, and you see Jenko running around. Schmidt fucked the captain's daughter the whole time. And I always forget her name, too. And it drives me crazy. The girl who plays the real bad guy in the movie. Oh, Christ. Gillian Hall.
Gillian Hall. Yeah.
She is so funny. That whole fight scene. Like, are we going to make out? What are you doing? You know? Yeah. Don't get high on your supply. Yeah, she is hysterical.
That's a good one, too, sure.
Yeah. All right, Johnny, give us another one. You got any more?
I have from the 80s, Running Scared, Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal. It's been kind of forgotten about, but they play two Chicago cops and a mixture of comedy and action. It's got Dan Hedaya plays the typical stereotypical captain that is always frustrated by the two friggin' rebellious cops that he has to be the boss of. But it's a good lighthearted comedy, sure.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, great Michael McDonald song from that movie, right, Scott?
Sweet Freedom. Yep.
Yep.
I thought I'd tee it up so you'd see if you'd start singing.
Tee up it. God, sweet British, I'm a lot of me. Of course. Any yacht rock's good for me.
Yeah, every time I see it, I see Running Scared in like the guide. I go to look, put it on, and it's that Paul Walker.
That's another movie. Yeah.
No, fuck this shit. I want to see Billy Crystal and Gregory.
Uh-huh.
My last honorable mention is kind of, I guess I'm cheating because I care more about the TV show than the movie equivalent, but I'll put it up there as a. Because the movie wasn't that bad. I'm going to go with Miami Vice. The movie's not awful, but to me it's more, I'm kind of cheating because the TV show is so fucking amazing. I'm looking at the Blu-ray set on my shelf right now. The TV show, Johnny knows, as you do, Andy, the TV show is fucking amazing. Yeah. The movie wasn't awful. Was it necessary? I don't know. But was it bad? No, I don't think so. But I'll put it on there. But again, I think I'm cheating and it's more osmosis for the TV show because the TV show was so damn good. But the Miami Vice movie was not awful. So I'll put it on my
list. It was pretty good, but not like a top four worthy.
Yeah, they were looking for something to put Colin Farrell and Jimmy Fox in together, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, I got a couple more. Hot Fuzz. I enjoy that.
Hot Fuzz is good. Hot Fuzz is
very good. That will be coming to Laughing Theater sometime in the future with the Brits. Want to do a group watch of that one. And Johnny's gonna nail me on this one. I got another Melissa McCarthy movie.
Come on. Come on.
It came out. Wait. God. It came out only like a year and a half ago. And I want to do it on Laughing Theater, but it's going to probably be the raunchiest Laughing Theater episode ever. And it's the Happy Time Murders. I love this movie. It has grown on me so much. You have cops, you have Muppets cursing. You know, you have one that's addicted to sugar and is all high. And every time I see this movie on TV, it just grows on me even more. Joel McHale's in it, plays a great douchebag FBI agent. The guy who played, the grumpy old guy on The Office.
Stanley, Parks and Rec.
The guy who plays Stanley is the captain, the lieutenant in that movie. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's so funny, and it's actually a really good plot. The way all the Happy Time members keep getting bumped off, but it's very raunchy, and I think it's hysterical. And again, not for Melissa McCarthy, for everything else in the movie. So
I'll allow John, that because it's got Muppets in it.
So. It's got Muppets in it. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I saw it. It was pretty. I thought it would be better, but it was pretty good.
Oh, I'm lightheaded. Oh, and he's shooting all over the office.
I approve of that. But,
And what's her face too is so good. I'm so blanking.
Maya Rudolph
as a secretary, where she just sits there and sprays and gets the jizz off his shoulder. That's so funny. All right, anybody else got any more honorable mentions?
Yeah, that's it.
I'm good.
We're good. All right, cool. So if there's something we didn't mention, we'll put this link up for the show on the Facebook page. So comment there if you think we forgot something in both categories, the mob movies or the buddy cop movies. But before we call it a night, let's kind of go around and say what everybody is doing, social medias, shows to be on the lookout for. Let's start with you, Johnny. What you got?
All right. At JadeIce7 on Twitter and on the other network, the North-South Connection, got the This Week in the NFL every week. There's a lot of drama going on NFL sports-wise. And as far as this network, we just dropped the 1987 Year on Pop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fun time, as always.
Yes.
Johnny got to take over in the music category. For the
Scott, one time only.
That's right. Scott, what do you got going on?
Well, obviously, you can follow me on Twitter at PTB Podfather. Check out all the wonderful shows on the PTB Wrestling Network, as well as the shows here on the Pop Experience that I'm on. All good stuff.
Yes, and as for me, this is my home here on the Place Nation Pop Experience. Got new episodes of lots of shows dropping. We have Pop Goes to Classics Disney. By the time you hear this, the Peter Pan episode will have dropped. That is myself, Miranda Berthel, and Steve Riddle. And the first episode of the brand new Game Show Pop PTBN Trivia Night. The first episode is Seinfeld theme. As of this recording, I don't know who wins, but the juggernaut behemoth from Body Pressure Luck, Ryan Everett, is on it, as well as our friend Derek Cornett. And John Kisalika is also the contestant. So that will have dropped by the time you hear this. So you'll know who our first semi-finalist is. There will be 9 episodes, qualifying episodes that are themed. And we will see who wins and becomes the first ever champion. Also on the Wrestling Network, I have an episode of Wrestling Great Debate with, I believe it was Sean, Matt, Shiflet and Logan. And then later in the month, I have the newest Evolution with Tim Capel. We talked about Diamond Dallas Page. And don't forget the Place to Be Facebook page. Check out all the great feeds. That is this one, the Wrestling Network, the Jenny Position, and the North-South Connection. So for J.R. Sergio D'Amato and the Podfather, Scott Criscolo, I am Andy Athen. Thank you for joining us on Making Mount Rushmore. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care.